Are you tired of spending your time comfortable with the uncomfortable? Ready to finally step out and find your joy, your passion, and start really living? Then welcome to the Pro Growth Podcast. My name is Dan, and my goal is to connect with and inspire others to help you find the direction you should go. Welcome back to another episode of the Pro Growth Podcast. We are quickly approaching episode 52. This is episode 51. Am I wrong?
This is 52.
Wow. That is a year's worth of content. How crazy is that? So yes, of course, I'm joined by the fabulous Elizabeth.
Hi. Well, it's good to be here. So good to see you.
Yeah. And, I'm excited.
Looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I was going to say. I'm excited for today. We've got a great guest. Is coming to talk to us about some, you know, great information. Like always, we'll just have a wonderful conversation. And like usual, I want to start today off just a tad bit differently, because I want to talk really quickly, Elizabeth, with you about, you know, we spend a lot of time talking with people, helping them understand how they might apply their skills, talents, abilities, passions into work that's both meaningful and profitable for them. And A lot of times that looks like starting from scratch. And you started from scratch, right?
I did. Yes. I built the business up on the side while I was working full time. And I kind of just started with what I had, what I knew, tried to do it, you know, cheap and expensively, kind of built it up to where it is right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I did too. And I'll tell you what stands out to me is it's been a lot of work. It's been a lot of time invested. It's been a little bit of money invested. And it's a lot of work. So what I have observed is that we see a lot of people in the 48 Days Eagles community that that are still searching for what they could potentially do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We see a lot of successes. We see a lot of people that are starting from scratch and growing, but some people are still challenged with what is it that's going to be right for me? And I couldn't help but think, after having a conversation with today's guest, you know, prior to scheduling this, that maybe starting from scratch isn't, well, I know it's not the only solution, right? We've got plenty of options. Yeah. We could go find a new career. That's one option. But when it comes to actually moving into business and work that we love, our guest today, his name is Giuseppe, pointed out a couple great options to me. And I thought, man, what a great resource for people who still haven't figured that out for themselves or aren't sure that they have everything they need right now to start from scratch. And maybe they're not even ready to make that kind of commitment. So I think he's got some great things to bring to our show today. With that, I'll introduce him. And then I've got a question that came from one of our listeners. And I think it's a fabulous question. So I think it's a great way to start this conversation with our guest. So that said, Giuseppe Grammatico. He's a franchise veteran, coach, author, and speaker, and consultant, I have too many ands, who simplifies the process of franchising and excels at guiding his candidates to the business model that best suits their desired lifestyle. His greatest joy is helping people realize the American dream and sharing the freedom that comes from franchising. Giuseppe is the author of Franchise Freedom, a new manifesto for your financial and time freedom, as well as the host of his podcast, Franchise Freedom. Franchising is a powerful vehicle for success, but the franchising world can be overwhelming, to say the least. Giuseppe takes the guesswork out of the process, listens and teaches along the way, and finds the very best fit for his candidates. Freedom favors the bold, Giuseppe likes to say. Those bold enough to take action on their goals are the ones that realize the freedom boldness can deliver. Giuseppe, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Dan and Elizabeth. I really appreciate it. Looking forward to this.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are too. I think, just reading the bio, a couple things stand out. One is just the options that you're able to help people realize. And I have to say, I really loved the last statement there about taking action. That's one of my favorite things to say, to tell people or talk about with people is, you know, we have these grand ideas. Sometimes we have all of this knowledge and ability, But unless we take action to apply anything, it's not doing anybody any good.
Right.
So,
I absolutely agree.
Hey, so I mentioned a minute ago, and Giuseppe, we had a question come in from Wayne. He's one of our listeners and a friend of mine. He creates some wonderful coffee, Percheron Coffee. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly. I'm not a horse person or equine person, but apparently it's a type of horse, or maybe even a type of racehorse. Anyway, if y'all like coffee, I encourage you to go check his stuff out. But and you can find him on Facebook. I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes. But he asked a great question. And I don't know that we've ever really talked about it on this podcast. And I thought about it today. I was like, what a great way to start a conversation with a great guest and with my co-host. And it was a seemingly simple question. Why do we each do what we do? And so I'll lead this off by saying probably one of the biggest things for me is really for me. For a long time, you know, I grew up with three brothers, a single mother. Well, I'm sorry, two brothers, three of us, three boys, a single mother. And we went through a lot of hard times. You know, cash flow wasn't part of our regular life. And so I watched as my mother struggled, and I never felt then that I had what it took to be beyond that. And as I learned to be beyond that, man, the power that brings just to me personally and the way it feels, that's one of my big reasons. But then beyond that, I really want to grow this business, grow my income so that I can continue to make a positive impact and influence in the world around me directly. You know, we on this, in our business, one of our mantras is helping more people better. And I believe that's how we do it, right? If I have powerful conversations with one person at a time and can make a positive impact in their life, I believe that experience will enable them to go share something or enable someone else in a positive way. And I believe that's how we change the world in a great way. And maybe it's just my little world here, but that's me. So that's a lot of my why. There's more, of course. I don't want to take up too much time. Elizabeth, how about, do you mind sharing with us a little bit about your why?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, so I feel like there's kind of two different whys. And the first is as to why I wanted to start a business in the first place. And, I think just kind of that flexibility and kind of taking ownership of that area of my life, to have that time flexibility and the ability to travel a bit more freely and, kind of build my life, build my business, I guess, around my life. But then to have also just the ability to be creative within that and kind of create my own job, create my own work, create something that was a really good fit for me. But as to specifically why I'm doing what I'm doing, it's because I found myself wanting to start a business for years, kind of questioning what to do, but along the way, learning everything that I could about marketing and business development and things like that. And eventually I realized, you know, I've been learning some things along the way that I bet I could combine that with the administrative skills that I've been working on and apply that in a really fun way that allows me to serve small business owners and ministry leaders, both of which I'm really passionate about, supporting them in the work that they're doing. And so I feel like I get to wake up every day and do things that I love, and I get paid for it, and it's just the best. So
that's so awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
That's awesome.
Giuseppe, what you got for us? I'm sure this is going to trump everything I said.
I mean, it's a lot of the similar things, right? It's time freedom. It's to spend as much time with my family. And I think the way I was looking at it was a little bit different. It was, you know, trying to find my passion and do something I'm passionate about. And I felt like I was maybe a little bit too focused on the passion piece, or what the actual passion was. So basically it took me too many years, but I finally figured out that my passion wasn't the end product of just say the business. You know, I got into business for the time and financial freedom. So, you know, the reason I got into the business I'm in right now is to assist and help other people with a major decision of investing in a franchise. But to show them how I created the time and created financial freedom for my family. So, you know, not too focused on the underlying business, but what vehicle, what will help me get to the point where my business is automated so that I can take the day off, I can travel, I can do the things I really want to do, as opposed to let me find a particular business. You know, I'm a big soccer fan. So instead of me buying a soccer business, which is, I always jokingly say, the one way to kill your passion or your hobby, that's your escape, you know, going to the games and things like that. But once I figured that part out, I said, okay, I figured it out. You know, it's not perfect and we're always improving and figuring things out, but how can I, my passion and my whys, how can I help other people experience the same thing and squash all the myths, empower everyone, whether you're making minimum wage or millions of dollars a year, my advice is always the same. And I'm here to, you know, tell people you don't need millions of dollars to start a business. There are funding options. You have plenty of options out there. So that's why I do what I do. I love it. I get to work from home. My kids are, we're all in the same household. So I get to, you know, spend as much time with them as possible, which is my big why.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, and I didn't share necessarily, but one of the things was, you know, just taking control of my own life back after spending a career in the military and really focused on everyone else in my case, sacrificing in many other areas. And I wanted to make sure I didn't do that again. And I want to be able to enable other people not to have to do that. Right. So I love what you said there. So I'm curious now, how did you get to this place?
How did I get to this place? So I was a corporate executive. I worked for some of the larger investment banks in New York City, 2.5 hour commute each way, and got to meet everyone on the bus. They were 20, 30, 40 years older than I was. I was in my 20s and they just looked miserable, told me some really bad stories. And I said, this is me in the future here. I need to really make a change. So at a very young age, we had an Italian restaurant that I ran with my family, ruled out business ownership because that wasn't really the right business model. It was a lot of nights, weekends, and holidays. Fast forward 10, 15 years, started working with a business coach. And basically she said, let's look at all your options. So we looked at jobs and I was like, well, I'm still a number, still commuting 2.5 hours each way. Maybe I can move a little bit closer, but I'm still probably 2 hours round trip, or I should say one way from New Jersey to New York. So we figured out in a couple coaching calls that I like systems in place, and franchising was kind of the area that had everything in place. I wasn't a creative person per se. Mm. I just wanted to run with the business. And you know, I had the passion, I had the drive. I just didn't have the creative ability to create a business from scratch. And that's how I got to where I was. And that helped me escape that job, which paid well, learned a lot, no regrets, but just was not fulfilled, and just saw that path of being miserable. And unfortunately, I wish I can talk to those people on the bus and thank them for their stories, because that's what really kicked me in the butt. And part two of that was, we found out a couple of days later that we were expecting our first, my son to be born later in 2007. So it lit the fire under my behind to, you know, escape that commute, because if I still had that commute today, I would never get to see my kids. So,
man, yeah. So good.
Yeah. Well, and I wonder, you know, I think one of the things that is really interesting about your story here too, is that I think sometimes it's easy to see that the path that we're on isn't really the path that we want to be on, but it's hard to know how to shift to another path. It's hard to know, you know, is this new path going to be better, or how do I have the courage to step out of what I know and the somewhat comfortable security of that to step out into something new? What would you say kind of motivated you in that? And how did you find maybe the courage to go ahead and do that and kind of navigate that transition?
Yeah, it's with the internet nowadays, I think it does a disservice to everyone. There is way too much information out there and it's overwhelming. And people, I've noticed, and I'm guilty of this as well, don't do anything with it. My wife says, if I look at another workout video, you know, she said, why don't you just open up your own gym? I don't work out every day like I should, but I'm looking at videos and I'm educating myself, but not doing anything with the info. So, you know, I think talking to people, but talking to successful people that have the lifestyle I was looking for. So not talking with every or any business owner, but business owners that had the time flexibility. Maybe not the business owner that was successful, had the nice house and car, but was glued to the restaurant or location 70 hours a week. That wasn't aligned. That wasn't aligning with what I was looking to do. You know, money, everyone wants to make a lot of money, but if it's not aligned with your why of spending more time with your family, and I'm 70 hours at a restaurant, you're doing something wrong. So I think it was talking to people, educating myself, and then working with that coach. That coach helped me kind of figure it out and say, okay, there are various vehicles to get to where you want to be. I'm in franchising. That's not for everyone. You know, if everyone was in a franchise owner, we wouldn't have employees to run any businesses. So, so each path, there's no right or wrong. It's all about what's right for you, but also educating yourself. Well, owning a business could be risky. Maybe a franchise is less risky because they have a support system. But I challenge people to say, so is your job. Yeah. And we've seen it during COVID. Yeah. You know, I'm an investor by trade. So I talk about diversification and don't put all your eggs in one basket. And people forget what that means. You know, they have one job with zero control. You know, you're basically at the mercy of your manager. And secondly, now you're investing blindly in a 401k that your company has decided on. So you're picking a few mutual funds, which, by the way, you have no control over aside from 10% here, 5% there. So why not take full control? I can invest in whatever I want in my 401k. I can also invest a hell of a lot more than I could at my employer, but figuring out is that for you, educating yourself, and then you have to take the leap. If you don't have a why, if you're interested in starting a business, if you're interested, it's never going to happen. It's going to be a Word document on your laptop that just is going to start gaining dust. So if your why, my why was big. I was miserable. I couldn't continue. I had a child on the way, and that gave me the kick in the butt to make that decision. And it was rough the first year. There was a learning curve, but we figured it out. And it wasn't education wise and business wise. It was, you know, going a month or two without getting a paycheck. Could you handle that? Right. And I can talk about that. That's not easy. Even though you may have the reserves, not getting a paycheck, not having maybe health insurance. Can you handle that? You know, can you handle that emotionally? So I did my homework and I educate people. Educate, once again, that's the key word.
Yeah.
And empower people into that information that you're not going to learn in school. I'm going to educate you and then give you the power to make that decision as to, is it a startup? Is it a franchise? Or is it staying at my job? And guess what? You can also have a side business as well. So a lot of things I learned, and I'm looking to kind of consolidate that, give that to everyone, educate people much quicker so they can make that decision, yes or no, and whatever their path is.
So, man, first of all, there's so much there. And I have a quick question, and then I want to go back and uncover some of what I just heard you say. But you just said that there's options for franchising where you can work a full-time job or run a business that you're working on building while running a part-time franchise, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I'll be the first to admit that, you know, when I explored franchising, because I was always, while I was still serving active duty, I was looking for what might be next for me. And I just couldn't put my finger on what that was for a long time. And franchises, of course, I looked at those. I read all of the top 100 businesses to start today and top 100 franchise magazine, you know, all that stuff. And I just never saw anything that stood out from a part-time perspective that would have been a great opportunity, especially then while I was still, you know, trying to figure out where I truly wanted to be.
Right.
So that's good. But I think you hit on something big, and that's the success aspect. I think, and we've had this conversation before, that we each have to define what that looks like for us. And if it's spending more time at home with your family and being able to go to your kids' soccer games or just to go to soccer games because you're a fan, whatever that looks like, you know, how do you do that? And finding the right avenue for you is important. And then you talked something we've definitely covered on the podcast before about, you know, it might be great for some people to want, desire, whatever, a lot of money. Something we discussed recently was more in tune with what is a lot of money to you, again, aligned with what's success look like to you. And then, you know, understanding how much you need, how much you want, and then what do you do with the surplus? And I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to make a lot of money if you have a great purpose for it. Otherwise, I think you continue to chase a lot of money. So I thought that was pretty important. So now that leads me to another question. When it comes to working with the people you work with, it sounds like you've got a great deal of experience kind of coaching people to find out, one, if it's something that they are really a good fit for. So how do you help them uncover their passions and looking for those opportunities to decide what businesses they should invest in?
Right. So I'm a product of what I offer today. So back in 06, 2005, 2006, I worked with a franchise coach and consultant who assisted me in my process. Invested in two franchises in 2007 and immediately knew that's what I wanted to do as well. I wanted to assist people and do it much better, knowing what I know now, because there were certain things never told to me, in the very beginning that I learned the hard way. So I wrote the book with that purpose and I run my business with that purpose. So as far as assisting people, again, the value proposition of franchising, it's a business built for you. So do you want to build a business from scratch, or do you want the system created for you so you can run with it much, much, much quicker? So one is not cheaper than the other. You pay a franchise fee versus startup, and franchise fee, just to throw a number out, maybe $25,000 or $50,000.
Yeah,
which may sound like a lot of money, but they've done all the kind of the trial and error, figure things out, work with the vendors, versus a startup where maybe your cost is less, but you sat on that business plan for 5 or 10 years. So what was the opportunity cost lost is what I always say. So
yes,
there's never an exact answer to that, obviously. So as far as helping people, there's 4,000 franchise companies out there. So we've already figured out that business ownership was the right fit, that they wanted something else, whether they're running it full-time or part-time. And then we've also figured out franchising was the right fit for them. If it was a right fit, they want that system in place. So I say there's a franchise in every industry, every investment level, 4,000 plus franchises out there.
Yeah.
So how do you could spend the rest of your life in due diligence mode and not do anything. So reverse engineer it. Simply put, forget about the brands, forget about the services. Go back to your why. Why are you doing this? Looking at your skill set. Are you an introvert, extrovert? Do you thrive in sales? Are you more of a manager? Putting that on paper. So we got this blank canvas. We look at, where do you want to live? Where do you want your business to be? What are the hours you're working? Is it Monday to Friday with normal business hours, but the business functions 24/7? We look at, what do your employees look like? Are they 1099 W-2 employees? Are they, are you managing a few managers where they're managing the employees? Is there a lot of employees, which we see a lot in fast food, high turnover? So we look at a lot of the various aspects of the business and we create a franchise model. So we have all the characteristics of what your ideal business looks like. We create a model. And then from there, we look at franchises that match that model. Not rocket science, but isn't that a hell of a lot easier than the other way, where I'm looking at Subway because I always see a line out the door. They're really popular, but I want to work 5 days, but the owners are expected to work 7. And now I'm shifting kind of my wants and saying, okay, I'll make that exception.
To meet the needs of the franchise. Yeah.
Right. You're constantly changing it. So now all of a sudden you're going to own a business that has nothing to do with the ideal business. And then from there, we look at two or three companies that match. So to what you're looking for. So before you had mentioned, if it's someone that has a full-time job that wants a part-time franchise, yeah. Not every franchise, believe it or not, allows that. It's not about, I have tons of money. I have a general manager in place. A lot of franchises will not allow that. They'll want the owner involved 40 hours mm-hmm. a week for the first 6 months to a year. So obviously we're not going to look at those owner operator type of models. We're going to look at models that allow you to be a semi-absentee, that they thrive in that role, that have a special training program just for that. So, so we look at two or three companies in different industries, different investment levels that match your ideal business. And you're not going to learn a lot of this stuff online. You're going to learn this directly with the introductions we make, speaking directly with the franchise companies and saying, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. This is how much I want to make. Can you help me get there? And it's a two-way conversation. They'll say possibly, they may say no, and we go back to the drawing board, but that's a conversation you have. And I make those introductions directly with the franchise companies.
Yeah, that so educational and informative. Man, I'm learning a ton today. But so you just led me to another great question. I'm just going to say great question because I like it. but let's talk a little bit about funding, because from my research, and it's been a while, but you know, it runs the gamut. You know, you can all kinds of investment levels. And so what does that look like? And then I know when you and I chatted before that there's a lot more opportunities for securing funding or I guess acquiring funding or creating funds to start a franchise. And can you talk a little bit about what options that people don't typically think of might look like? And
yeah, so I'll answer it this way. So great question, hopefully a great answer, right? So funding, I always recommend after the first call, they speak with one of our funding partners. They will do a full analysis for free, just like our service. There's no charge. Mm-hmm. They will look at your financials, assets, liabilities, net worth, and they'll give you all your options, even though they may not offer that specific option. That's a great way for kind of like when you're buying a house, you want to get pre-approved. You want to know mm-hmm. what your budget is. So there are some really great options I never, knew about, such as Rob's plan, where you can use your 401k money mm-hmm. from a previous employer. Big one right now with the housing market just exploding. And hopefully, I think it's calming down or cooling down a little bit, but using the equity in your home equity lines of credits have been extremely popular. So our partners will kind of give you the list of options. Portfolio loans, traditional loans, you name it. So they'll kind of SBA loans have been another one that have been very popular, backed by the government. So they'll explore that, because sometimes you may not realize how much access to capital you have. You may have some money in savings. And I was talking to someone that had a small amount in savings, but had a huge 401k plan from a previous employer. So they were able to use that. So as far as investments go, it's all over the place. There's typically, it could be well under $100,000 where you're paying a franchise fee, and then the rest is maybe some marketing expense. Typically, the franchises will give you a range, because they'll say, okay, you want to factor in maybe 6 months rent, 6 months for your office if needed, or six mm-hmm. months of one of your employees. Maybe that's a manager, a customer service person. So, and the range can go into the millions. So, as far as realistically, I always tell everyone, it's not just a flat number. This is what you should have to start a franchise. But number one, if you're going to be leaving your job completely, make sure you have enough, 6 to 12 months living expense to cover your mortgage or your rent and everything else.
Yeah.
And then be able to put down, anywhere from 20 to 50,000 down. That may be towards a loan. If it's a rollover from a 401k, you can fund the whole franchise with that and even pay yourself a salary. So make sure that, you set yourself up for success. Our funding partners will ask you those questions. What are your, you know, monthly expense? So if you don't know, figure that out.
Yep.
So if you leave your job, you know exactly, I need to cover $5,000 a month over and beyond. I have $100,000 in the bank. Okay, I'm in pretty good shape. But they'll give you answers to where you have access, what you need to survive, and then what the excess is in order to help you fund that project. And from there, we can figure out, you know, is it more brick and mortar where the investments are much greater, or is it more of a service-based business where it's run from home, or maybe a small little a small office to get started? So sometimes people don't know. So having that conversation sooner than later gives them a general idea of saying, okay, I wanted retail, but my budget is more service. Let's start there. And then maybe the next business ends up being in brick and mortar.
Okay. Wow. You mentioned quite a few options I hadn't even considered, and made me think about, you know, where I sit. And so thank you. That super informative, super educational. And I think Elizabeth has a question for you.
Yeah. Well, so one of the things that I think is so fascinating as you're talking about this is that you clearly have a lot of understanding of this, and that you're really guiding people through the process of figuring out kind of from start to finish on that, you know, what's the right fit, and then kind of walking through those different options. I think that for people like myself who I do invest sometimes, but sometimes I just kind of want to DIY it myself and will kind of gravitate towards that and be like, oh, let me save the money. But yet I know that that coaching piece or having someone walk me through will help me to get those results faster. Mm-hmm. And I know you personally shared about how you've had a coach that helped you through this as well. What would you say are the benefits of walking through something like this with someone, and how does that help them to maybe achieve success faster or to avoid some different pitfalls that might be along the way? How does that help people to kind of get the best experience there?
Yeah, I think it's you have someone that holds you accountable and follows up. And more importantly, you have someone that gets you the information through firsthand experience. So I've owned a franchise, I've owned a non-franchise, and I've worked for corporate America. So I've kind of hit all three boxes. So I'm giving you unbiased advice. And people will say, well, how is it unbiased? It's simple. My advice is, this is the process you should go through. But more importantly, when I make the intros, once you make an intro to a franchise company, they're going to be going through that process. And it's almost a two-way interview with the franchise company. So if I was biased and I told everyone was a good fit for franchising, the franchisor will come back and say, no, they are not a good fit. They don't want to follow the model. They want to change a lot of things. So I think working with a coach will get you to a yes or no much faster than, you know, being stuck in limbo online researching. So I'll tell people firsthand experience. I was nervous. I didn't pay myself the first month. How are you with that? Are you comfortable utilizing your retirement assets in order to fund this? You know, I'll ask them the difficult questions. I asked them on the very first call, why the heck do you want to own a business? It's a lot of work. I had black hair when I first started in my 20s. Do you really want to own a business? If it's just for money, I don't know. There may be better options out there. So I'll question them. I don't just, you know, if someone says, well, I want to own a restaurant, what do you got? We're not franchise salespeople. We don't just say, okay, well, we have X, Y, and Z. Why do you want to own a franchise? And people will say, well, I want to, you know, people have to eat two or three times a day. And I'll come back and say, okay, so if I take a step back, what you're saying is you want a business that's in demand, that has high demand, that many people are going to need. And they're like, yeah, never thought of it that way. Just like my coach, and this is really important. My coach, I couldn't figure out why I have not been happy in my career in corporate America. And I go, I can't figure it out. And within 20 minutes, she figured it out. And I said, well, what did you figure out? She goes, you're chasing money. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, the job, you're in investments. The pay was excellent. You know, the salaries were, and bonus and commissions were excellent. You're chasing money. That was your motivation to explore that. And then it's like, all right, what positions made the most amount of money? And I never figured that out. I'm doing this for years and I'm just like, wow, that never occurred to me. I want to make a lot of money. I want to take advantage of the time I'm putting in, but I never realized that. So that coach by our second phone call, told me I should look into franchising. I was chasing money. I was doing a lot of the stuff the wrong way. And I said, wow, the money I was paying the coach, this was a paid coach, a business coach, saved me probably years and years and maybe pushed me in that direction of business ownership much quicker. You know, I may have still been at that in the investment world, miserable at my job, you know, at 42 going on 43 years old. So
there's a lot of good things in what you've just shared. One of them for me is the money that you just brought up, right? Chasing money, because that's a lesson I learned. When I first started, when I left the military and first started trying to start and grow a business, that's immediately, I needed money. And that's what I was pursuing. And nothing I was doing was working. It worked a little bit, but really at the end of the day, it wasn't working. And until I shifted my focus and my mindset on what I really wanted, which was, you know, the freedom to take back control of my life, to prove to myself that I, you know, had all of the things I needed, even if I wasn't fully prepared growing up, you know. And when I shifted the mindset from that to a place of how can I utilize my skills, talents, and abilities to just serve others well, things started to change for me. And that's really what I'm hearing you say, is that your time and investment and in people is the biggest benefit that you bring to the table, because it's in your best interest to ensure they are a great fit for where they're going.
Absolutely. 100%. I'm in the people business and assisting and serving where I can. I always jokingly say our service is free, and why go it alone? You know, if you have someone with experience, and I'm not the only consultant and coach that does this, but interview the person. They're going to be working very closely with you. I would challenge to say, hey, have you owned a franchise? Have you owned a non-franchise business? It's not a requirement to be to do what I do, but it brings some great firsthand knowledge and some scary stories that I can always share about owning both types of businesses. And I think that's a big plus. So I definitely, just like, you know, in anything else we do with a coach as well, I interviewed my coaches and even on the franchise coach, I interviewed them to make sure they were a good fit. Even though there wasn't a fee, I wanted to make sure they were a good fit since this was a big decision. And to everyone listening in, and I say this almost every single day, husband calls, wife calls, whoever's involved in the business, you both need to be on those calls. You both need to be in the decision process, because husband says, I'm going to be running it. My wife is keeping her job, and vice versa. My wife is running it. My husband's keeping his job. It doesn't make a difference. This business affects everyone. It affects your children. It affects the dog, the cat. It affects literally everyone, because you're going to be working a lot more hours. You know, you may not be around, you know, for dinner some nights in the very beginning. So let everyone know, have some, you know, whoever's affected, maybe not the kids, but anyone else, any adults that are going to be affected on the call, so that they get educated, that they can feel comfortable about this. So I encourage it to everyone. Sometimes I feel like I'm playing Dr. Phil on the calls and saying, well, I didn't, you know, the wife or the husband will say, I didn't know this, I didn't know that. If you're on at least a few of the calls, I would highly encourage that. It just makes the process so much easier, and everyone's informed and has that comfort level. So
there is a lot to be said about that. That, first of all, that's just gold. But we just did a couple of weeks ago, we had an interview with another friend of ours, episode number 50, go check it out. But they're a husband and wife, and that's exactly what they talked about. You know, how did they just celebrated their 23rd wedding anniversary. They have both been in and out of entrepreneurship and working full-time jobs and managing a household and a marriage. And that's what they shared with us on that podcast, was how did they manage to make all of that successful? And the number one thing they said, I think, as my takeaway, was that communication about expectations and reality, right? If someone, we often will see people working outside of the home as an entrepreneur, and we think all of these wonderful things, and and they come home, it looks, or you come home from work after a long, hard day, and you see that person sitting there playing on the laptop. At least that's what it looks like to you. And they're like, I'm really over here working hard. And so just making sure that that communication is open. But they had some great nuggets to share about that too. And I absolutely support what you just said.
Was that Mark Delaney by any chance?
No, okay. But Mark is also awesome.
I've talked to him. I saw he was on the show. So I that's why I asked. So.
Yeah. So Mark and I's conversation goes way back. I don't even remember the episode number, but we'll post a link to it, man. We had a great conversation about discovering your purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's where he really has found his sweet spot his zone of genius is really walking with people to help them uncover that and to stop this search how he likes to approach it. Right. Cause some of us are just out there wandering around searching constantly for what is my purpose in the world. And he really helps people dig in and do the hard work of uncovering it. Cause it's already in there. You just got to uncover it. And he's a great guide for that. But no, help me out, Elizabeth. It was Jason and
Melanie Crane.
Melanie, thank you. I don't know her name. Oh, when I go to say it, and this, I hope she doesn't listen to this episode because she's gonna fuss at me later. But anytime I go to say her name in a conversation with Elizabeth, it always eludes me. Yeah. But yeah, Melanie and her husband Jason Crane.
Check that out.
And that's what they do. They work with couples where one person or both of them are in the entrepreneurial world and certainly probably would apply just the same to a franchise owner.
Right.
But how they can manage all of those pieces and be successful in their relationships and in their businesses. Right. This is really good information. Super educational for me. There's a lot here that I just never even really considered. Thinking back to my time reading about what franchise might be a good fit for me. And you're right, first of all, that there is just so many. There was no way I could possibly understand all the options on my own. But that leads me to share with us, if you don't mind, you know, what are a couple of the top myths that you have experienced, seen, heard in the time you've been doing this? And what do you usually tell people about them?
Myths in as far as business ownership or franchising?
Franchising. My apologies. Yeah. Franchising.
So there's tons of myths. So things such as it costs, it's just fast food, which it's not. It's porta potty franchises, dumpsters, mosquito spraying, business coaching, employment services, you name it. If you can think of the industry, there's a franchise, I don't even call it a franchising industry. I just call it franchising. Is you have a proven business model, or you can go the startup route. So it's not all fast food. It's not millions of dollars. There are franchises with their fee and all an investment are well under $100,000. So there are options. Funding wise, you don't need to use all your money. There are funding options. The myth of following the passion. A story of a couple of Wall Street guys wanting to buy a golf franchise to find out. They did buy the franchise to find out it had nothing to do with golfing, and it was retail and stocking shelves and high employee turnover. And now they hate the sport of golf. So I always said, be careful with not the end product, but figure out the systems, the characteristics of the business before figuring out what the widget is or what the service is. And franchising, you know, another common people tell me is, or myth, well, if I don't follow the system, they're going to pull the franchise from me. And I heard a lot of complaints, and I'm not going to name the names on some of the restaurant fast food chains, and where they were not maybe buying all the product from the franchise company or the napkins and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is franchising is not a business where the franchisor, you make a mistake, they just take your business away. You are told of the mistake. Every franchise is going to be different, but if you're not following the system, if you're buying a McDonald's and you're selling pizza, you'll be told to discontinue that. But it's not, franchising is not about someone just coming in, you make one mistake and all of a sudden the business is gone. They take it away from you. They don't want to lose their franchisees. You're an extension of their brand. So, you know, they want what's best for you. They make money on the revenue for the most part.
Sure.
Typically it's a percentage of revenue. So, and, I'm trying to think what else on the myth side. and that I guess franchising is for everyone. Why do it? And I always say, well, that's also a myth. It's you know, what's the right vehicle for you? We have attorneys, we have CPAs that are never involved a day in the business, and they just use it as an investment, just like buying a mutual fund where they have a team in place. So businesses or franchises, I should say, can be run semi-absentee. You don't need to be there every day. So I kind of touched on it, but those are some of the myths that I hear when I ask people, what are your questions or concerns? I hear a lot of this when we first have our first conversation.
That makes perfect sense to me. I heard some of those in our conversation, but we didn't address them specifically as myths or common things that you're hearing. So I did want to circle back around and just point a few of those highlights out. So thank you for that.
Sure.
And I wonder, when you think about, and one of the things I love too about your process is that you're really kind of guiding people through the process of figuring out, is this the right fit for me? Is this really going to help me to achieve my goals? And really trying to guide them well in that. And I wonder, you know, are there some characteristics that you see of people who are really successful franchise owners? How can people maybe determine if that's a good option for them? Because I know sometimes that might not be something that we talk about a lot in the business world, and it may not be an option that people really consider well enough. And so how can people maybe tell if that would be a good fit for them, and what kind of characteristics and things do they need to do to prepare for that?
Right. That's a great question. So most people, a lot of the franchises we bring to the table, they've never even thought of. You know, I had a gentleman here in New Jersey invest in a mosquito spraying franchise. Who thinks of that? Who's passionate about mosquitoes? I'm passionate about getting rid of mosquitoes out of my yard and taking my yard back. So it's not so much the widget or the service. Like, it goes back to this individual. So I'll kind of explain it in an example. He has a full-time job, was able to allocate an hour or two a day towards the business. So he wanted something semi-absentee that was an annuity reoccurring. Mm-hmm. So people get their yards sprayed every 2 or 3 weeks. And maybe the season isn't 12 months. Like in New Jersey, it's probably 7 or 8 months. But he wanted something that was reoccurring, that had multiple revenue streams, such as tick spraying and things like that, that was simple, that could be run an hour or two a day with two employees. So it's highly scalable. As he expands, his technicians hit capacity, his customer service hits capacity, or the salesperson, he can double up. He can kind of double up. So characteristics were low investment, highly, it could definitely be scaled relatively quickly. Low employee count, which meant just a low overhead, no office needed aside from leasing of a pickup truck or a van. So that was a type of business that hit all the characteristics, was normal business hours, no nights, weekends, can have the winters off for him to travel overseas, and the business kind of slows down, which some people may think is a negative. But he wanted a lifestyle business. But this particular company, I don't like to always go into specific brands, but this particular company also on the off season gives the option of holiday lighting. So keeping your employees on and doing holiday lighting and as an additional revenue stream. So that hit a lot of the characteristics. He didn't come in looking at mosquitoes. He's not passionate about mosquito spraying, but it hit all those characteristics, so that he's involved minimally. He's not doing sales. So he was more of kind of a big picture kind of guy. The franchise company handles all the marketing, has a call center that answers all your questions. It's a simple business. We have another business, without getting into another full example, where it's in cleaning, but each cleaning franchise is run completely in a completely different way. But this cleaning franchise is residential. Everything is handled. The sales and marketing are handled for you. They are looking for managers because it does have a higher employee count. Mm-hmm. You do have multiple employees doing the cleaning. So in that particular franchise, we helped someone go that route because they were great managers. They managed large teams. They didn't need to be good in sales. This person was more of an introvert, and he's able to manage these larger teams. And that was the ideal kind of franchise candidate, ideal franchise avatar, if you want to call it that, where they wanted managers. They didn't want strong salespeople because that was handled at the corporate level.
I don't know about Elizabeth, but I'm over here thinking about maybe I should consider a mosquito spraying franchise. Some perks that came with that one.
Lifestyle. Yeah. Lifestyle. People are like, well, I only have 9 months or 8 months of income, obviously depending on where you live. And I said, well, you make hopefully a year's worth of income in eight, but you have the option of, sure, of doing holiday lighting, or you go to your house, if you have a house internationally or somewhere else, and vacation over the winter. So that sounds good to me.
I know, right? Right?
I'm working on the second house. So no, I'm just kidding. I would love to have a second location, but, or a second home, but it frees it up. So it's not for everyone, but and that's why we bring those to the table and have them explore it and say, these are your options. Let's make them all completely different. And then you continue the due diligence process. We can't do that for you, but we can kind of guide you, questions to ask. And I will say one last thing compared to a startup, the benefit you have, aside from franchise support, onboarding, economies of scale, you know, vendor pricing and things like that, you have once or twice a year, I call it a mastermind, where you're meeting virtually or in person with other franchisees. But it is those franchisees that you're going to validate and speak with to make sure and ask the difficult questions to say, hey, I heard the investment is X. Was that in line your first year? I also heard the income potential was Y. Is that in line? And you can speak with 5, 10, 15 plus, people that are currently doing it and getting their unbiased view of the system. Are they getting support and things like that? So that's one major benefit, is that you can really take the due diligence to the next level and ask people currently doing it in various markets across the US.
That's awesome. And so much flexibility that you've outlined, and you've given me, like I said, you've given me so much that I had never even considered. I think, from the start of this conversation, that this is, an option. And clearly you're invested in making sure it's a success for anyone that you work with, or absolutely guiding them to something different. And so I love that about the work you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm super grateful for you sharing all of that with us. And I would like to ask you, if people want to learn more about these opportunities, or maybe even learn more about you and what you're doing, how do you like people to get in touch with you, Giuseppe?
You can go right to the website. So Giuseppe Grammatico is a mouthful and hard to spell. So just by my initials. So GG, the Franchise Guide, and that's GUIDE. So ggthefranchiseguide.com. There is a free download of my book I wrote last year during COVID, during the pandemic. There's also my podcast, Franchise Freedom, a webinar. So however you like to absorb information, it's all on there. And when you're ready, there's a book a call, 20-minute intro call. I'm here more than glad to answer any questions you have on franchising, business ownership. I'm very honest. And from there, we decide if there's a second call, or I put you in touch maybe with a recruiter or headhunter, which I've done before, where I feel maybe the employment route may be the best bet. So we do have people we can put you in contact with. Franchising isn't for everyone. So
that's right. That's right. And if you're still searching, we are, of course, the 48 days facilitators, and we can walk you through a process of uncovering what career path might be a good fit for you as well. So Giuseppe, I'm super grateful for your time today.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Dan, Elizabeth, thank you. It's been a pleasure. I really appreciate it. And looking forward to our next conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you got something out of this episode, first of all, contact Giuseppe and he can walk you through that process. But as always, we'd encourage you to share this with someone that you think might benefit from it. We appreciate you. We hope and look forward to seeing you or hearing from you, listening to us, whatever it looks like next time, so that together we can help more people better.